الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولن ترضى عنك اليهود ولا النصارى حتى تتبع ملتهم صدق الله العظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدهم من يخالل وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام من كثر سواد قوم فهو منهم وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام My dear respected brothers and elders, the atrocities that we find that are carried out against the Muslim Ummah in the various parts of the world, and that the common denomination when these atrocities are carried out against the Muslim Ummah is one. And that is when the Ummah is close to establishing a Khilafah or establishing a Muslim nation or an Islamic nation that follows the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100% or establishes Sharia to the best of our capabilities. Then you find that there will be some sort of turmoil, some sort of onslaught, some sort of atrocities that will be taking place against these people. Currently we find in Sudan, there's a massacre taking place, or there's a civil war that is taking place. You find in Palestine as well, for so many years, the Muslims, atrocities have been carried out against them. Previously, Nepal, Bangladesh, Afghanistan. So the common factor amongst all these countries, wherever you find that there is some interference from outside sources, is that these countries are trying to hold on to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and establish the Sharia. And this is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it is a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ That the Yahud and the Nasara, the Jews and the Christians, will never be happy with us until we follow their creed, their mannerism, their way, their religion, or at least their mannerism and their culture. So you find that there are many countries that are so-called Islamic countries, or so-called Muslim countries. But when you go to these countries, it is anything but Islamic. So we'll find in these countries, not only are the disbelievers not carrying out atrocities against them, not waging war against them, but they are helping them and financing them and helping to develop the infrastructure. Because they understand that we don't have to wage a war against these people to have them follow our way. But rather we just have to glorify our mannerism, our culture, our religion to them. So that they may claim that they are Muslims, and this suits them fine. That they will claim that they are Muslim, they will be reciters of the kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. But everything about them, the desires, the mannerism will be like that of the enemies of Islam. And not only will this apply to the Muslim countries as a whole, but to anyone who recites the kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, this will apply. That as long as you claim to be a Muslim, a reciter of the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, the disbelievers will never be happy with that, and they will not be satisfied with that. They will constantly make an effort to remove this deen from us. And they understand as well that kufr in itself is unpalatable to a Muslim, unpalatable to a believer. That a person who recites a kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, if you have to go to him and tell him that now become a disbeliever, become a kafir, then it will be unpalatable to us. We will not, or just to involve ourselves in an act of kufr. It will not be something which we can tolerate. It's something that we will be severely adverse towards. So what they will do, my dear brothers, is that they will devise certain mechanisms to make kufr seem appealing to us, to make it seem appetizing to us, so that then when the time comes, not only will we reluctantly involve ourselves in acts of kufr, but we will think that we are doing something good And we become happy with it. And we will happily involve ourselves unknowingly in kufr acts. And one such time where they have succeeded in drawing the Muslims into acts of kufr and disbelief, perhaps a person unknowingly, okay, this we'll have to ask the muftis, but when a person does these certain acts, does it render a person out of the fold of Islam? Most likely not. But it is a stepping stone towards actual kufr, towards leading a person out of the fold of Islam. Like we find today being the 31st of October. Tonight, many people will be celebrating what is known as Halloween. Now Halloween, if a person has to investigate what are the origins of it, that it is from Celtic origins, where they used to celebrate a thing called Samhain, where they used to believe that on the night of the 31st of October, those that have passed on, those that have died, they come back, their spirits come back into this world and start tormenting those that are still alive. So in order to combat this, what they used to do is they used to dress themselves in various costumes. Most of them would be masks made out of dead animals or skeletons of various animals, covering their faces, or wearing something that is scary. So the hope would be that these costumes would scare the spirits of the dead that have passed. So this in itself is something, it's a kufr belief. Our belief is not that those have passed on into the next realm. It's impossible for them to come back. In fact, in the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the desire of those wanting to come back to even carry out one good act, not to come back and scare people, but to come back and do one good act. That Rabbi na'mal salihan fima tarakt kalla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's impossible. Once you have gone on, you have gone. It's impossible for the spirit to come back as well. Thereafter, the other various factors that are found within this. So the Christians then adopted this festival and they changed it a bit on the night of the Hallows. They called it, or Halloween for short, that they made it a Christian practice, but the basis of it was very similar, that we will dress ourselves up to scare the spirits of the that have passed on. Thereafter, the various acts that are involved in this, every one of it is stooped in kufr, some of it in sihr, in what is known as jadu, witchcraft, black magic. What is known as the jack-o'-lanterns, you know, the pumpkins. Sometimes a person might unwittingly advertise in his business as well, these pumpkins, these jack-o'-lanterns. What is the origin of that? You see that in Ireland, a person by the name of Jack, he is to capture the shayateen, and he is to and he used to take hold of them, like what we say, like sort of some jinn catching. So Shaitan made a pledge with him. Whether this is true or not, that is the most likely this incident is not true. But the origin of it is what, the belief behind it is what we have to be careful about. So this person by the name of Jack, when he used to capture the shayateen, then Shaitan made a pact with him. Like they say in today's time, made a deal with the devil. The Shaitan told him that, see, you are capturing all my shayateen. What I will do is, I will give you a promise of not, you will not have to enter hell, enter Jahannam. So he agreed with this, and he stopped capturing the shayateen on the premise that he will not have to enter hell. So when he died, then when he passed, into the next realm, he found this again. He's not saying that this incident is true, but this is the belief behind this. That he found that heaven did not want him as well. So he was stuck between the two, heaven and hell, and he began tormenting the people of his area as well. So these people began carving in Ireland. They used to come out, they were not pumpkins that were found, but there was turnips that were found. And they used to begin carving scary faces out of it toward Jack, so that Jack doesn't come and torment us. So again, these are beliefs that are steeped in kufr, that are steeped in ignorance, that are steeped in ideologies which are detrimental to our iman. We perhaps may not believe these incidences. But what the origin of it is, my dear brothers, that it has become palatable to us. That perhaps we may not have that belief, but going into an action that has its origin steeped in kufr, steeped in sihr, steeped in disbelief, and we are carrying on these acts, not just carrying it out as a mere act, but as a source of entertainment, a source of happiness, encouraging one another as well. Alhamdulillah, for most part, the Ummah of South Africa was saved from such acts, from such parties. But unfortunately, we find with the onslaught of social media, with the ideological warfare against the Ummah by the various means that they had in the past as well and currently as well, the various movies, the various TV shows, etc., where they glamorize these things. That's why we should stay away from these. One is the haram aspect of watching TV and looking at haram, etc. But besides that, the ideological warfare that is found in these things, where they glamorize it, make it appealing to us, make it seem like something that we want to do, and something that is a source of enjoyment, a source of happiness, a source of relish, and it's innocent fun. Let the children go trick or treating. That in itself as well is something which is the origins behind it as well. If you have to research, it's got some kufr elements to it as well. And make the children get involved in it. Make the children dress up, go to school. Make the children face their paint. Encouraging our youngsters also to fall into the trap of the enemies of Islam. So my dear brothers, this is one thing that inshallah will make this effort. Not only do we stay away from it, but remind others, warn others with regards to it, that this is not something which is innocent as it is portrayed, merely some dressing up, merely some playing, or something which you can use as a advertising, even to use it for advertising for our businesses. Keep this kufr out of it. Do not even acknowledge it. Do not sacrifice our deen for some few worldly rands and cents. And that brings me to the next topic. This inshallah will pass without too many Muslims getting involved in it. But as the month of November comes in and the month of December comes in, another kufr festival will be coming in. And that is the very famous one, which now becomes a frenzy for everyone. Even if a person doesn't believe it, he acknowledges that it's the festival of the Nasara. But what is behind the festival again? That you're acknowledging that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a son. Na'udhu billahi min zalik. That they say that the son of God was born on this day, so now we must have festivals regarding it. And they have the various get-ups and the various advertisements regarding it. This, my dear brothers, to advertise, I will just use the word once, but to advertise Christmas specials, my dear brothers. This is now, what is Christmas? What is it? That you say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a son, and that the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was born on the certain day, and the various, again, kufr connotations that go with it. Stay away from this, and do not wish anyone happiness on this day. Neither should we change our sustenance, our rosy, by advertising these in our businesses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq of understanding. So that is one aspect in which the elements of kufr, the elements of batil, they will attack our deen, and they will try to take our deen away from us. Then, my dear brothers, they will give us halal versions. They will give us halal versions of aspects which are haram, which are in effect haram. Halal versions of haram things which are effectively haram. They will rebrand it, call it something which is halal, but my dear brothers, it is not halal. It is haram. Understand this, my dear brothers. The same people who are bombing our fellow Muslim brothers in Gaza, in Palestine, in Sudan, throughout the four corners of the world, they are coming out with so-called Sharia compliant finance, for example. Do they wish well for us? Ask ourselves a question. Everything that they're proposing for us, do they wish well for us? Or do they want our deen to be snatched from us? They're coming out with Sharia compliant finance, vehicle finance, business finance, etc. This, my dear brothers, is interest in another way. This is interest, just rebranded. وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودِ وَلَن نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. They will never be happy until you follow their mannerism and their culture. So they will bring about certain things. They say that, you know, this is 100% Sharia compliant. This is 100. But who is it? The enemy of Islam wants to make deen easy for us. The enemy of Islam wants to find a Sharia the things that make it easy for us to follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas in every other country, in every other place, they are removing the people from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're destroying the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in itself, my dear brothers, has to be a red light for us. If you have to go into the intricacies, Alhamdulillah, Mufti Abdul Azim, who speaks from this member regularly, he goes into the intricacies of how non-compliant it is. But just the fact that who is it that is presenting to us? So everything that we see around us, my dear brothers, with the lifestyle, the culture that is being presented to us, every time, my dear brothers, we have to question it. We have to understand that these things, my dear brothers, is an onslaught against our deen. And the only way for us to be saved, my dear brothers, is to hold on to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like they are making an effort to take away our deen from us. We cannot just merely be on the defensive all the time. But we have to be on the offensive. We have to fortify our deen, fortify our iman, fortify the iman of those around us. Make an effort door to door, calling the people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Steep this heart of ours, my dear brothers, in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make this heart connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person links this heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then these traps of the enemies of Islam will be easy to identify. But once we slowly fall into ghaflat, fall into neglect, this heart, when it's distant from the masjid, when it's distanced from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when this tongue is now dry with the lack of the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then when the enemies of Islam, when they present these various traps, that these elements of kufr to us, then it becomes pleasurable and easy for us to accept it. So my dear brothers, the solution, my dear brothers, to all the traps, to all the onslaught of the enemies of Islam, my dear brothers, first and foremost, we have to link our hearts to the masjid. Make sure that we read our 5 times salah in the masjid. Make sure we open the Quran, make some tilawat of Quran daily. Make this heart ripe or this tongue moist with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And keep ourselves in an environment that is conducive to following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that the December holidays that are coming, this is the time where the onslaught against the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, where Muslims willingly put themselves in environments which will make them fall into haram. They will be eating things which will be doubtful, sometimes even haram, happily, because of the culture that is being presented in front of us. So again, how do we save ourselves from this? Instead of putting ourselves in those environments that will be detrimental to our